What about the other fella?
He was a little older. You know, he looked like the Marlboro Man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But maybe I'm saying that, you know, because he smoked a lot of Marlboros.
Uh-huh.
You know, like a subconscious type of thing.
Oh, yeah, that can happen.
Yeah. Hey, they said they were going to the Twin Cities.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, is that useful to you?
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap. I'm one of your hosts tonight, Gus Manti, bringing to you episode 140. We got a special guest on here tonight. We'll be introducing him shortly, but before I go any further, let's introduce the other Mott hosts on here tonight. We got none other than my brother, Max. Max, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Gus. Just got home about a couple minutes ago here. Drinking a couple beers, playing some pull tabs, celebrating a little work event with some coworkers, and
nice.
Not a bad little Tuesday night here in Minneapolis. So happy to be here. Sounds like you guys are hanging on by a thread over there in Harrisburg.
Barely. We're dying over here. We did have to move hotels. You know, last pod, if you listened in, we were recording from the Ramada in a very sketchy area of Harrisburg. Ended up moving hotels. That wasn't a very good one. It turns out there's probably some fake reviews on Google. Somehow that place got a 5-star amidst all the other 1-stars. Not really sure how that happened.
You have crumbs in the sheets or what?
I don't know, dude. I don't know if that's what I got this sickness from or what, but could be from the show, but I got some sort of crud myself.
No, you sound fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, a little raspy in the mic.
Well, that other voice you guys hear this evening is our third co-host, Mr. Brian Eckel. Brian, great to see you. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Nothing to complain about. Watched a very lackluster Super Bowl.
We'll get into it.
Yeah. I mean, nothing too crazy to report on that. Just a very boring game. But it is what it is. We're on a March Madness.
That is next. That's coming up soon. We'll be doing the Mott March Madness bracket again this year. So everybody watch out for that.
Month and a half, somewhere around there.
Yeah. It's coming up, a couple pods.
Yeah. Dang.
Or so.
All right, guys. Well, we'll catch you on the back half of this pod. We're gonna chop it up regarding the Super Bowl, all other current event topics. It's got a few other things to chat about here, but before then, Gus, why don't you take us away into this awesome interview and let the people know who we got on tonight.
We got Jeremy Smith. He's been with the Lindner's media crew for a long, long time. You probably have seen him on Lindner's Angling Edge for muskies, bass, walleye, panfish, you name it. You've probably seen him out there. We're really excited to have him on, first-time guest, so we will be getting into that, but before we go any further, this interview coming up is brought to you by Thorn Brothers. And also, when you're searching the web on www.nextgenmuskies.com, if you're looking to join up on that with Doug Wagner, be sure to use the code MOT10, MOT10, to get 10% off your subscription. So appreciate it, everybody. And we'll catch you on the flip. Here's the interview.
We're going like middle to late August. So I don't know what that is timing wise for that type of a system.
Yeah, it's good. That's probably when I've been there the most, is around that time in August. Here it's a little better. In July, I think it was there twice in July, and I couldn't say that it was better or worse. The weeds are maybe in a little bit better condition in July, but you know, it was great still in August to catch when you're there. So that's always nice to feel like a good fisherman, you know.
Gus, why don't you let the people know who we got on the pod here this evening?
Yes, yeah, that fourth voice you guys are hearing now is none other than Jeremy Smith, as I said in the intro. He's a first-time guest here on the podcast, so Jeremy, thanks for coming on. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a fun little invite to get to talk about muskies in the middle of winter. And we've been doing ice fishing content at work, which I'm not super into ice, but not even the same, nearly the same universe as I am into open water and musky fishing. So this
Same
is
as us.
right up my
Yeah,
alley.
you can be honest. Yeah, you're in a safe space here talking about ice fishing too, that's for sure.
Right, yeah.
Thank you.
We've bashed it for 2 months straight, pretty much. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, well, thanks for coming on here. You right away there, we're actually talking about a time of year specifically for an adventure that we're gonna be going on. We have not mentioned on the pod, but we're gonna be going to Wabagoon. So we're asking Jeremy here. I know he's been there. For those that have watched Lindner's Angling Edge, they got a video or two, I believe, on the Goon. So that's an interesting place. I know you said something about like the weeds maybe not being as good. Is that kind of like a since the summers are so much shorter in Canada, is that late summer, do the weeds die that much quicker up there? Or is that because of that system?
Well, I mean, they can, but what happens is they get covered up in kind of gross algae, you know, how they just get that nasty algae on them. So that seems like it's more of an issue than it is the actual plants standing and being alive. They just get kind of crummy. But I've been up there in September. We were up there last year in September, and I don't know if you guys remember, it was the cold front of cold fronts where it was in the 80s and it went into the, I mean, it we had frost on the windshield. Of course, that was right when we got there, and it was the 40 mile an hour sideways rain, sleet. So it was really, really, really brutal fishing when we were there in early September. But we still ran into some fish and played with the crappies a little bit, which was cool. There's Magnum crappies in there, and it's a good multi-species lake too. But the fun thing about the muskies there is, and I don't know that much about them, but from what I've gathered, they really like to be shallow, and that dirty water is just, it's just such a different experience than anything else you do. It really is. And one of the takeaways that I had, and Travis Turon, he's a Canadian buddy of mine up there, and I fished with Travis up there, was you get this idea in your head with the dirty water that you got to maybe fish loud or fish slow, or you're constantly contacting cover, and that works. But you can fish just like you do in clear water. It just goes to show you how damn keen muskies are. They just know when baits are around. So that was a big hurdle for me to overcome, was like, oh, if I want to throw a tube on a walleye hump, you can still catch muskies doing that. But the fun part up there though is that so many fish utilize the really shallow water and heavy cover that I just think that makes it really fun.
Yeah, it's more like intimate fishing and whatnot. We do a good amount of that in northern Wisconsin. We get a lot of green bloomed lakes, and you can,
Oh
you know,
yeah.
pick apart shallow water. So honestly, we're pretty pumped. We'll be kind of right at home doing that
Right
type of
on.
fishing.
Where are you boys staying?
Bonnie Bay.
Oh man, they're awesome people. Cool resort. Good location. Ben and Cynthia
Sweet.
are awesome people. It's a cool spot, and they run a really nice camp. It's super clean, and yes, that you guys made a good choice.
Have you stayed there recently?
Yeah, that's where we were the last time. So
Okay, nice.
yeah, it was the first time I'd been there. I'd heard about it from, obviously Bonnie Bay is a pretty popular spot up there,
Yeah.
yeah. So you're right in the north side of the, kind of north central side of the lake there, and you can access wherever you want to go. So, and you've got a pretty good travel route when you're on the north side for the most part. The south shore is a little more sketchy when you're trying to rip across the whole lake, but
Hey, you mentioned briefly earlier, I don't think we're recording quite yet. It can get kind of treacherous out there. I mean, we're used to fishing sub 1,000 acre lakes where we don't have to really deal with the treacherous waves. We saw it a little bit on Vermilion in the fall, but does it get pretty gnarly in the main lake?
yeah, it can get big, and then you just can't see. I mean, that's just the thing that you literally can't see hardly anything in the lake. It's just a couple inches of visibility if it's rowdy out there. So you just got to be caught, whatever, just be cautious, take your time and get some routes and go exploring. That's the beauty of Sunset Country, the Shield, is that you could just be an explorer and you just never get through it all. So Yeah, it I mean it's scary in a sense, but if you're not dumb, it's not it's fine, you know. Just don't go ripping wide open near islands and shoreline and you know. But
Duly
there are some
noted.
jugs out in the middle that if it's rough and you're not paying attention, you know, a whitewashed jug or a white jug and you know in the sheep pasture doesn't always stick out that well if you're getting pounded by waves. So
All right. Well, Gus
then in
mentioned.
Cynthia will show you where the hazards are too.
All right. Well,
Okay,
that's good to
good.
know. So Gus mentioned first time guest here on the pod. I'm sure a lot of people who are tuning in are very familiar with you, but would love to kind of just hear how all this thing got started for you. I mean, we're a musky podcast, so obviously want to hear how you got into musky fishing and all that good stuff. But when did the fishing bug get you, and how did things get going?
Yeah, I've just had it since I was little, just a natural curiosity since I was really young and got exposed to fish in a creek behind my grandma's house. And I just had an interest in them. And ever since I've, yeah, just pursued it. So my family still has a cabin in northern Minnesota near the Longville area, kind of between Longville and Hackensack. And so I spent a lot of time up there. And then I lived in Walker after I graduated college, and I summered up there when I was going to college. And yeah, I wanted to be there because, you know, it's next to Leech and the Longville area and the Muskies. And I was fortunate to be there kind of when Minnesota was booming with, you know, Plantagenet and Bemidji and, you know, all those lakes that were booming. So it was a really good place to be. So yeah, I've been in love with Muskies ever since I was a kid. Some of the lakes in the Park Rapids area, my mom and grandma and aunt had gone up there antiquing when I was really young, and like that Big Sand Ida, Little Sand chain of lakes had muskies back in the 80s, and so I got to see a muskie when I was a kid grab another fish, and that was just like, oh, you know, I was sold since I was, you know, whatever, 9 years. Took me until I was like 15 or 16 to catch one, but that was it, man. I mean, I think everybody's got that story. They're just a magical critter.
Right. Well, so how did things then kind of, I mean, obviously it snowballed quite a bit since then. But how did you get, you know, hooked up with the stuff you do now with the lenders and filming and kind of taking it to, I mean, I would say probably like a next step times, you know,
Yeah,
10.
television level.
Yeah, to full television level, you know,
Well,
professional.
yeah, so I'm guessing like a lot of people my age or whatever, just a lot of people grew up within fishermen and the lenders, and I wanted to do that. I wanted to work for In Fishermen ever since I was young, and so I really had that as a goal. And when I went to school for biology and business management, and I knocked on the door at InFish, you know, asking for a job when, you know, right out of high school as I was going to college, and I would stop in and just tried to make myself available, and didn't happen. And around that time, the Linders sold In Fishermen and started Linder Media Productions. But I was fortunate to have that relationship, you know, with Walker, and I would. Did some of my time off working at Reed's, and I got to know a couple guys, Chip Lear and Tommy Scarless, who had a company called Fishing the Wild Side. So I kind of got in there, and they were doing, you know, sports shows and some magazines and some writing, that Leech Lake Guide Coalition. And Bill Linder was actually the photographer for that magazine. So I got to know Bill, and then, of course, got a little closer to the Linder family through Bill and was just always wanting to do that. And yeah, so January 06, I moved to Brainerd here and started freelancing for those guys. They were doing FLW, if you guys remember FLW. They did a bass series, and so I was producing that television series, you know, with the Linder team, and it just kind of took off from there. And then Dan Sura, who was my mentor in this business, he was retiring shortly thereafter, so I ended up taking his place. So I've been working with him for 20 years now, so it's been a minute.
Do you remember that like first shoot you did when you, I guess, started doing the like with filming with the Linders or part of you know, like do you remember going back to that first shoot? I'd imagine if it was like a dream or, you know, a dream job you've wanted since you were young, and then all of a sudden now you're like leading a show, or maybe you were a, you know, second in command, or however it all worked out. But what was that first time filming that show like?
Oh yeah, so whatever, you know, they're whatever. It's like I still can remember when Al was in the office, and you're just like, oh my gosh, you know, it's Al, and he's talking to you and having coffee, and it took a while to sink in, but yes, so I was really into Muskies, and Jimmy was into Muskies, and I was like, oh man, you know, let's shoot a piece, and he was like, yeah, okay. I was like, no, I was definitely like, no way, sweet, I'm gonna shoot a piece with the Linders, and we went up to Leech and shot a muskie show. I think it was called Muskies on the Rocks, and we caught a few muskies, and it was cool, and it was great. And then it kind of snowballed from there, and it just started kind of being, you know, part of the not, not it's a great job, and I of course love it, but you know, it just kind of kept going. So we've been at it now for quite a few seasons. But yeah, it was really cool. And of course, you're intimidated, or you're nervous, you're not quite sure. And I mean, I feel like I knew what I was doing on the lake, but you're like, oh man, you know, trying to explain, Jimmy's running the boat, and am I doing this right? How do you behave, and what's the best thing? But caught fish, so it worked out, and here we are. So.
And I'm sure you probably, I mean, obviously at that point in time you're a really experienced angler, but like how much had you done behind a camera up until then and actually like leading the charge on a show?
Well, a little bit. So when I was working with Chip and Tommy, they started a TV show too, where they had this, gosh, I forget what it was called. It was this Bass Derby that was televised through Gander Mountain, and that kind of folded up and went under. And so they got kind of, they ended up falling into this airtime. So they did a show called Fishing the Wild Side. So Chip and Tommy and I were doing that. So really, since out of college, I was kind of into that portion of it. So there was a lot of writing, and then the TV side, and you know, the whole media production side, just really been in since ever since I graduated college, I would say. So it's fun, you know, you can be somewhat creative, and I've just had great people around the whole time to really help with all of that, nurture it. So
Yeah. So like when you're putting together these, especially like a muskie show, obviously everyone, you know, here knows like muskie fishing can be muskie fishing. We had Mike Keyes on a couple weeks ago, and obviously he kind of shoots a little bit more of like a start to finish, you know, on a
yeah, he
full
gives her,
trip.
man.
And
I'm impressed. He's still just giving it. That's
the
awesome.
motor is insane. But you know, watching over the past couple years, I've, you know, started to really enjoy it. What you guys are doing and your show, and I've gotten into it. But it's, you know, it's a little more buttoned up, I would say. You know, you guys are, you know, up there, whether you're promoting an area or resort or, you know, something else. What kind of goes into those shoots for Muskie? Like, are you guys are getting set of dates and you just kind of got to live with it, or are you know, waiting for good moon, good weather? You know, however you want to, you know, say like conditions are right for a muskie shoot, or is it just like, hey, we got 3 days in August, we got to go make a muskie episode happen, and let's go do it.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. So we're fortunate to work with a lot of Canadian tourism outfits, and well, Canada's my special place. I love it up there. So that is outstanding. But like starting now, we'll start to outline everything. And when we're up there, we're working. So, you know, it requires work permits, and you go through immigration. You got to get all that stuff, you know, set up ahead of time. So we'll plan, everything's going to get planned out now. So it doesn't really, whatever the moon is the moon is. So the tourism partners will say, here's a list of destinations we'd like you to visit. And we get it on paper and schedule it out, and you get there when you get there. So I wish there was more. And sometimes you can pick the timing, but most of it's just when the resorts have vacancy. And honestly, usually when the resorts have vacancy is usually when the fishing is slowest, right? So,
Yeah, when they have, yeah, like the discounted rates or something.
So, but there's never a bad time to be up in Canada. It's always great. I mean, it can obviously be better fishing at other times, but the experience is just so spectacular up there.
Random question here, but on because muskies can be so incredibly unpredictable, and sometimes weather, as you know, plays such a huge factor in them biting. Did you ever have a muskie shoot turn into a walleye shoot or a crappie shoot or a bass
Well,
shoot?
just watch the Wabagoon. Wabagoon filled. It's coming up here, boys. I hate to
Oh
disappoint, but it, I mean, I'm
no.
serious. It was bad. Mena was up there at the same time. It was funny. It was coming around an island. I was like, oh shit, that's Pete. And started talking to him, and he was coming in just right at the tail end of the really, really nasty stuff. But they had, you know, obviously it was tough for everybody. So I kind of knew right away. We got there the first day of the cold front, and we got a little hang up at the border. And so we got in later and thought maybe we'd have a shot in the evening, and we did get a shot at a nice one that just nipped and got off, and saw a couple more. And then the next day, it just didn't feel like it. You know, you got that northwest wind, sleet, you know, you're going from 80 to 35 degrees, and it, you know, it just doesn't feel right. So it's like, let's just survive this and not kill ourselves on trying to make muskies work. And yeah, this lake's got huge crappies in it. It's got walleyes, it's got smallmouth. Like, let's get out of the wind and, you know, fish where we can fish, and just try to pick some stuff together, figure out where life is. And that should hopefully show us a little bit about the muskies too. And it's a great multi-species lake, Wabagoon is. I would definitely bring the crappies are big, so you can use your walleye stuff for them. But it's cool to explore. There's a lot of fish in there, and that's kind of what that particular show was. It was like, well, here's how you make the most out of a buns trip, because anybody who fishes enough knows that you're going to run into, sometimes you just get really, really, really bad weather. And I love musky fishing, but I also feel like I've done it enough that like kind of feel like, you know, when it's probably not going to
Don't
happen,
gotta
but
force it.
you could make something else happen. And you know, I mean, we're there to work too, so you don't want to walk away and say, yeah, we tried so hard for muskies, and we got a couple little dinks, you know, where, oh yeah, we got crappies that are this big, and we got a bunch of eater walleyes, and we got some really nice smallmouth, and we got a big pike, and we got a couple muskies, you know. And it's like, yeah, you got that's a great trip, you know. All of a sudden you can put something together. So I always pack stuff for multi-species on those Canadian trips.
I'm curious if you had one shoot that you went on where I guess if you know if you're packing for multi-species, maybe you kind of avoid this nightmare scenario, but where you went to a new lake or new system and just could not figure it out, struggled through it. Obviously, you know, if you switch species, you might be able to find a bite, but was there one particular area that was just impossible puzzle to solve?
Muskies. You know, we were on Manitou one time. Was pretty tough. I mean, we ran into a few fish, but that's a big sucker too, and different, and it's trout water. And that it so we the musky fishing was tough. It had been a dry year, and we got like 7.5 inches of rain, and so Manitou flows into Rainy, but it we got such a torrential downpour that the lake started flowing north. So it was just a, it was like a, you know, it kind of flooded things out, and the muskies got weird. But also the trout fishing was literally like catching bluegills off the docks. So it was really
Typical
spectacular. Like, trout, in my opinion,
trade-off.
they're next best to muskies. So
Yeah.
muskies, it was kind of like you fish muskies for a couple hours and you're like, oh boy, we could have caught like 15 lake trout in this amount of time. So yeah, you know, so
Yeah.
that was one though that I'd like to go back, because that one does seem challenging. I know it's got really big ones in there, and it's super clear, and the fish look really cool. But I never did score anything of any size on Manitou. But
Kind
that
of
is a
speaks to the.
spectacular place. If you guys ever get a chance to go there, it's off the beaten path. It is absolutely breathtaking, and some of the best lake trout fishing too in Northwest
Sweet.
Ontario.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of
Awesome.
speaks to how like diverse and great a lot of these fisheries are up there. I mean, I, you know, said admittedly before we started recording, like that area of the world is a spot that us three just have not really explored, and we've made it a point to start trying to do annual trips and change locations and learn as much as we can. So again, again, some of these questions are going to be a little self-serving, but I mean, you know, obviously you clearly have like a you know a really good tie to this area and know it super well. I mean, have there been some trips that you've had up there that are some of your favorites that you can kind of remembered from all your time, whether it was with filming shoots or just, for fun. You don't have to name lakes if they're, places that you hold near and dear, but
Yeah, all of them. I mean,
yeah.
I'm serious. Like, that part of the world is, I'm super pumped for you guys to get up there. I mean, it's to me, it's magical. It's the coolest place there is to fish muskies. So, yeah, I mean, there's just a ton of trips. Like, well, this summer, so I've got an 11-year-old, and he really is into musky fishing. And we'll go up
Nice.
and we always go the right before the 4th of July, we go to Eagle. Our friends have Eagle Lake Island Lodge, and we always stay up there. And he's caught some muskies, sucker fishing, trolling. He's had a couple casting, but never had scored casting. And this summer we got into him, pretty good. We had a couple five fish days, and he got a few on figure eights, and he got, an upper
Nice.
40s casting, and it was just,
Got to be hooked now.
yeah. So it was just spectacular. So it was one of those things where you get to be with your kid in a really beautiful place, and he has these, moments where he's just like, having a meltdown, freaking out, shaking. Of course, I am too, and that's just, the muskies are so fun and cool, and they're fortunate. Well, a map is coming of those lakes, but what's kind of cool that I like about Eagle too is, I've been fishing it for like 30 years, but you can just, it's fun to explore, and you start chipping away and chipping away, and it was all in places we'd never, I'd never even been to before. So when you get those kinds of things where you're just, always pushing it and going to new areas and checking it out, and there's fish there and they bite. Awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they're all great. Everything up 105 is really cool. If you guys get up there, like Cedar and Peralta, I haven't fished Cliff, but I just saw the Trampies did a, I don't know if you guys saw that on YouTube. They just did a cool piece. Tyler and Sarah caught some nice fish on Cliff that looked great. And so that, I mean, that's a really cool area. And obviously Sewell is immense, huge. I'd say that's kind of the toughest of,
That
the
just looks intimidating when you look at it on a map.
and it is. I mean, it's just huge. Like, Woods is big, but for whatever reason, maybe it's the cabins and stuff. Black Sewell just seems like on a whole nother level of big to me. But I know Woods, obviously I know Woods is a lot bigger, but Lac Seul, there's just nothing there on the east side that it's, oh, it's just, you just can go and go and go and go and explore.
Oh
And
my God.
it's just
Like, these
cool.
things
And
can be
it's so
anywhere.
big and it's so hard to access that, even like, I know you guys have Ben Olsen on here, but Kurt Hansen, who's kind of one of the gurus, and buddy Ben Beatty up there, and or Linda Rice, whoever you're talking to, like you'll be like, what about, you ever fish there? And they're like, no. How about there? No. Like, it's just so big that even the
Yeah.
places that kind of look cool still actually don't get pressure, because you go, so you go 40 miles up the lake and a couple spots and you hit a couple more and you got a big drive ahead of you. So it's just what it is. It's cool that it's, there's still places like that that are remote and
I
untouched. So.
feel like that adventure aspect of Lac Seul, where it feels super untouched and there's like so much to explore, would keep you wanting to come back. But like, has it kind of beaten you up at the same time to where, like maybe we'll just go to Eagle and have great success there?
Yeah, it is an ass kicker. You can really get it handed to you, and much lower density, I would say. There's huge ones in there, but yeah, you can. It can be hard to get up. It can definitely be hard to get a bite. I mean, guys that are really good at it obviously have higher success. Yeah, it's, I always feel like if you get one on Sewell, like that's a win. Yeah, you can catch more than one, but I'm just always happy to encounter one. I just think it's pretty cool that you even run into up there and as big as it is. And when they do show up, if you're fortunate to be there when it's happening, I mean, there are quite a few muskies in there, but it's like they just can be ghosts and ghosts and ghosts and ghosts, and then boom, it happens. In fact, we had the first trip I did up there, we did a houseboat trip with some friends, and September, I mean, anytime you can go to Sunset Country, it's good, but September is always a really weird time when you get those first big cold fronts and stuff flips. And I'm sure there's people that are way better at it than me, but I've just always struggled when you get that first sleet, just like the really crazy windy, wet, rainy, cold. Not the cold front where it's high skies and clear, but like you just don't even want to be outside because you're getting, sandblasted with rain. Like that happens, and that we've had a couple trips up there where it's been tough, but you stick with it, and we've always scored. You always get, it seems like you always get a big one up there if you just are relentless on it. It just happens,
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. I feel like that. So you were on a houseboat when that first cold front with sleet was rolling in, because I feel like that would be a little out, especially out on Lac Seul in the middle of nowhere.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I was a real dumbass. The one time I was with my friend Pete. This is a different trip up there, and the fish were kind of biting. We knew this was another September trip. We knew the weather was going to be bad, and it just started, but the fish were biting. So we were going up by, we were there. We were going to have the guy drop the houseboat off on Taylor, one of these islands behind Taylor. And I knew where it was. I'd fished around that area. I'd never been to that island, but we were still like 20 miles away, and the fishing was good. On the paper map, it's called Taylor, but on the whatever the zero lines card, there's no names to the island. So I was like, oh man. And there's no moon. It was dark. It was sideways rain and windy. And oh, we, yeah, I had to just try to figure out how to get like 20 miles up the lake, and you just couldn't see anything. And my buddy Pete just thought it was a complete moron, but we got there. We did it. Got a
Yeah.
couple lessons too.
Still here. Oh,
It was
beautiful.
fun. I mean, you just remember that stuff. It was
Oh,
just,
yeah.
you can't get that close to home, those kind of cool memories.
Yeah, I mean, that's like we always joke about it on this podcast. I mean, it's 70% of the fun we have on these trips is just doing dumb stuff. And those are more of the
Yes.
stories you end up telling than of
Yeah.
catches and whatever. All right, I got a really random question for you. You ready for this one?
Yeah,
All
sure.
right, so say, hypothetically you were planning a trip to Canada, just say August 15th through the 22nd. And you were going to fish a more dirtier staying system like a Wobbegoon, for example. What type of structure are you looking for that time of year? Like, what if you're looking at a vast Canadian Shield lake, and you're day one, like what are some things that just kind of stick out to you visually, not even on your electronics, but just what you're looking at the lake? Because I
Yeah,
will
so
you
say, not to
go
cut you off, everything looks good. Everything
ahead.
looks good on the map, so I don't know how to pick it apart.
Yeah, everything does look good. Obviously the island complexes are a big deal, and then you just want to start looking at shoreline. So one thing you'll notice, there's big sections of any shield lake really where you're just gonna have flat rock or smooth rock. So sand, you're always looking for sand. Anytime you see sand, that's a beauty. Good chance you're going to be around weeds. And then round rocks, anytime you see round rocks on the shore, really pay attention to those. Those are obviously great habitat indicators that there'll be maybe weeds around the round rocks too, but yeah, fish just really like those. But on a lot of the Canadian lakes too, little sandy bays, little cup bays that like we might ignore in the Midwest, just think it's a spring thing or whatever. They can be really good. And on Wobbegoon, you'll see a lot of obviously it's clay, it's dark. You'll see a lot of those clay banks that are eroded, where those clay banks are. A lot of those have weeds out in front of them too. And my experience up there is weeds are hands down number one. Spend tons of time looking for weeds. There's fish on rocks too, and there's rocks are more plentiful, but put your time in looking for weeds. That just seems like it's consistent. From the times I've been there, July, August, and September, they've always been the best. Not that you can't catch, I've caught fish on deep rocks, I've caught fish on shallow rocks, but not nearly as many as I have in weed beds.
With how shallow the weeds are, on that, particular system, are you looking at all and trying to find like any sort of wind current that's pushing the weeds one certain direction and having success on, one side or another of the weeds? We kind of try to find some of that stuff in northern Wisconsin on these lakes that have a little bit of current on them. This is something we look for. I was curious
Yeah.
if that's kind of the same up in Canada.
Yeah, I've I feel like that maybe has more play in other spots where it's weird on Wobbegoon. A lot of times Slick, looking on the lee side has been pretty good for me. I don't know what it is with the dirtier water or whatever, but when you get that wind exposure around those weeds, I mean, it gets like really, really, really dirty. And I kind of think the fish don't like it as much. I mean, it could be wrong, but seems to be kind of Wobbegoon does seem to be kind of nice that if it's flat, calm, and sunny, where most places you're freaking out, you can be like, yeah, man, we got really good shot today at catching, and they'll crawl right up into that stuff. So if you had wind exposure from days before, I would say, yeah, definitely keep that in mind. But actual like big wind events pushing onto weeds on Wobbegoon, I haven't really necessarily seen as much luck. But obviously, if you've got a wind pushing one way or the other, any of those funnels, that the days following, you absolutely be really keen on where those are.
And are you like, and this goes for all like Shield Lakes, because we've heard, and again, we haven't been up there, but Eagle, there's different sections of clarity, Lake of the Woods, same thing. Are you playing water clarity at all on a particular day? Are you trying to find dirtier water, trying to find clearer water? Just kind of depends on what's going on, I guess, that day.
Yeah, it depends on the lake. Wobbegoon, I would say, I mean, you're kind of looking for a little bit clearer water because it can get just really, really dirty. And there's other lakes that are connected. I forget how many lakes are in the system where you can go fish like traditional clear water and get out of it too if you want a little, get some falls and see some fish. But Eagle's a really good one because you've got the Western Basin is the trout water, and they've got that, Vermilion Bay into Portage Bay, which is a little more, kind of that moderate water clarity. Same through the Central Basin. And then when you get south and east, then a lot of the stuff on the southeast side of Eagle I mean, it's right next door to Wobbegoon, and it's dirt and super dirty down there. So I fish, if we have calm, sunny, flat conditions, like on Eagle, I'm always running down into the dirty water to go fish. And if we've got gray and wind, I'm not going to run far. I'll stay out in the ocean and fish the clear water then. But yeah, if there's not big wind events or anything to stack up fish, definitely looking at dirtier water and, weeds. And then if you've got good wind, playing the rocks and funnels and, areas where the water's moving real good.
Gotcha.
That's kind of some general stuff, but they're muskies, whatever. I can tell you that, and then you do the opposite and you catch a huge, huge one. So they just
Right.
do whatever they want to do, right?
You just never know. Well,
Yeah.
with that information then, maybe we can talk a little bit about baits. What are top couple baits in the dirtier water of Shield Lakes that you like to
Yeah.
use?
I would try a black bucktail. You guys should try a black bucktail and then maybe bring a black bucktail. I would try those.
Perfect. I love that answer.
Brian's
Black
hating
is really
this.
good on that. Brian's looking for pink, orange, and purple.
Some
That's what
flash.
he's looking for.
I'll work. I mean, I've caught a lot of muskies on Wobbegoon on pink, actually. Jimmy calls it Liberace. So
Nice. That's a good
that's been
name.
a good pink's been good out there, but black's been super solid on Wobbegoon. And the other color I did good on Goon with is like a copper. Copper was real good out there, but black day in, day out, I would say is the best. So, and spinnerbaits too. That's a really, if you guys have never done the, it sounds like in Wisconsin you do it where you're throwing like rad dogs into this really sloppy stuff where you get the baits hung up, where you're purposely hung up,
Rip
shake,
it
shake,
through.
shake, 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 and then pop it and you just turn it. If you get airballed, it is fun. I mean, it is really fun, like getting in there and rooting around. And so, 10 inch unweighted floating suic is another one of my favorite baits, just chipping away in those pockets, old school, like Doug Johnson used to do on Lake of the Woods. That's a beauty.
Call that combat fishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh
You
yeah,
can be close to the
CQC.
cover, short casts. Yeah.
Is it like weeds up to the surface that you can
Yep.
see, or are there lily pads or reeds or?
There's some really lily pads, not a lot of reeds. It's beautiful cabbage, just like
Oh,
beautiful
wonderful!
cabbage. Yep.
Oh.
So yeah, it's
I'm
great.
picturing this.
Yes. And again, these questions are pure hypothetical on dates, time of year, all that
Yeah,
stuff, like joys,
sure,
everything.
sure.
Great information though, for anyone
Yeah.
wondering,
So yeah, I would bring those, and you can still catch on tubes, dogs, or but whatever, pick your rubber. There's fish that are using the deep rocks. It's worth playing around with those. It's just a really fun experience to be up there, like you guys are saying, combat fishing that. You're just really engaged with all you're just busy all day picking targets, and
Yeah.
I like that. That's what I like about that lake the most.
This is probably a pretty elementary question, but like again, we just haven't been up there, and I'm sure people are listening to this that have fished Canada annually are probably just shaking their head. But like just logistically, when you start a day, like if it's day one of a trip on a Canadian Shield lake, any lake, and you really don't have much to go on, whether it's your first trip there, second trip there, you haven't spent much time in this system. Are you kind of running or trying to get all the way, as far as you can, and kind of visually seeing some spots and then fishing kind of back up? Or are you just kind of working down through the lake and saying, hey, that looks good, that looks good? Like how do you kind of go about your day when you're breaking down this new shield water?
Yeah, I definitely like to travel, and but each lake has its own unique personality. So if somebody's willing, and the resort owners are almost always willing to give you something like a community hole. To me, if there's a couple community holes in your camp, I'm not saying that like this is what I'm gonna live and die here and fish there. I just want to see what they are like, what is this spot? Does it, how deep do the weeds grow? Are there rocks? Like kind of what are the habitat features? And so I definitely like to just get a sense of what people are talking about. 'Cause you can go to places, like Lac Seul is a great example where somebody says, go fish, here's a great spot. And you're like, as you're pulling up, it's like 6 feet. And they're showing this spot is still 100 yards closer into shore. And you're like, no way, man. Like there's this, the deep water is 300 yards from wherever they're marking this. You see what I mean? Like it's not quite making sense. So just getting some of that insight from the resort on what types of habitat the fish really like, I think is helpful. And then from there, yeah, man, if it's not awesome fishing conditions, spend as much time driving and looking and laying down waypoints as you possibly can. Just go, 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 go. Obviously you get bored eventually, you want to cast and throw out some stuff, but just keep going and try to establish travel route. So if there's areas you want to get to, start figuring out how I can get here and get there. And then also be mindful that this might be a good way to get there now. But if the wind does a 180 or changes 90 degrees, like this might not be a really good travel route back. So try to maybe get down there and then figure a way back based on shifting winds.
Good advice.
Makes sense, yeah.
That is solid, yeah. Because we've never done the giant water fishing like that. I'm thinking in my head trying to compare it to northern Wisconsin, where you break down a 250-acre lake, and you can break it down
Yeah.
into little 58-acre sections. Like, here's the little bay it has. Here's the 50
Yeah.
acres where there's a rock bar. Here's the, that where now we're talking thousands of acres or more per these
Hundreds,
types of
thousands of
areas.
islands. Yeah.
Yeah,
It
and
can be
trying to break it.
intimidating, but chip away at island complexes too. Like just push yourself to grind through a whole complex and really understand what it is and where you see the fish, because it can be pretty easy to get hung up and think you saw, we saw a fish on a point, or we saw a fish on a cup, but there's other irregularities that you might not be quite tuned into that, might be little saddles or who knows, a rock with weed or whatever it is, it has more fish. So spend some time like fishing whole complexes too, and getting to know them. And there's a lot of stuff up there where you can look at this. There might be half a dozen islands together, and you kind of look at it and you're like, oh, there's a shallow. I don't think I could get through that. But a lot of times just try to get through that and over that and into these other little mazes and stuff that are in there, because there's muskies in a lot of that stuff. It's so different there that most places you can see if it's 6 inches deep or whatever, you know what I mean? But here you're
That's
kind of like, I don't know, your depth finder's
true.
reading 2,000 feet when you're that shell, but putts around, I mean, whatever. I just like bobbing around in there and figure it out. So
Have you had a disaster where you're, exploring one of these new Canadian lakes and it's just boom, big rock or stump, especially in Wabigoon where you can't see but a foot down?
yeah, I mean, I've hit stuff. I've never like had a bad accident, but
Full
I
unit
hit
coming
something
off.
every time I go up there. I'm just,
Yeah.
yeah, that's just what it is, you know. You just tr you trim up. I mean, you have hull bumpers. I got the boat stuck on a rock on Goon. You're just idling around, and all of a sudden you're not moving. You're boop. I mean, that happens. But you just got to go. It's not as scary as you think. You just go easy, and you bump into stuff. And I guess if you're really worried about, your gear, I mean, to me, I have a boat because I want to fish out of it, so if I, obviously I don't want to go flying around at 30 miles an hour and kill us or break something bad, but I mean, I've messed up props plenty, and but never really too bad. Make sure you guys have auto chart. I mean, that's just the best.
Oh yeah.
It's the best tool ever for up there. It's just so amazing. That's a
Yeah,
game changer.
that's gonna be used heavily. And Brian, don't worry, I'll bring an extra prop. So,
Yeah.
and
That's a good
maybe an extra
idea.
trolling motor, possibly.
Yeah. When you guys are in Dryden too, so you're like in a, I mean, there's a town, like one of the
Yeah.
biggest town in the area is right there. So that's kind of
Yeah.
nice.
True.
That's true.
Yeah.
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 Jeremy, I got a question. Kind of brings back. I was meaning to ask it earlier on, but for all this Canadian fishing, did this start before you got in the mix with the Lindners, or did it start once you were with them and filming for going to
Yeah,
Canada?
my dad took me up there when I was, early teens, or and he's not really a fisherman either, but him and his brothers went with their dad fishing. So I whatever got to be old enough to go on the fishing trips to Lake of the Woods, and then Eagle, I think I went there for the first time when I was 14 or 15, and fell in love. So I've been in love with Canada for since I was in my early teens. I've always loved it. And yeah, it's just such a cool place.
You have go
Go
ahead,
ahead.
Brian. I was just gonna ask for your coming episodes this coming year. Are you guys adventuring much into new bodies of water, or kind of going back and filming different types of content at familiar areas, or are you gonna have to be using some of these lake breakdown tactics this year in shows?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're always going to new stuff. Even the big lakes, you're still doing the.
Yeah,
You know,
figuring it out forever.
Eagle, I've been there for 30 years, and I'm still applying this every time I go there. I can't, it's way too much. But we don't have everything planned out this year quite yet. But there will definitely be some of that. So I know it sounds like there's a fly-in one somewhere in northern Manitoba in May, and then
Sweet.
hopefully they'll send us to a few. Few cool spots this year. What did we do? There was new. Did Shibandoan, that Cashaboy River system. That was kind of cool. Different. That was walleye, obviously. But Whitefish Lake. If you guys ever want to run into like the biggest average smallmouth bass I've seen, that was really cool. A super weird like 8,000 acre lake that's like 6 feet deep, and it looks like you're in the mountains, like the Sawtooth Mountains from Superior around there, and somehow it's got fish in it, doesn't freeze out, and there's huge, gigantic bass, and it was really,
It's awesome.
yeah, and that's
Crazy.
one that throws you for a
Never
loop
heard
because you're
of
so used
that.
to Canadian structure. Where it's like, oh, you're gonna have these deep basins, and it's like, oh, here's 8,000 acres of 5 foot, 6 foot cabbage bed. What do you do here? So, and you do, you just start chipping away, and that the whole thing was just finding areas that had hard bottom, and voila, so. Just put the time in and figure out what.
Gus or Max, do you guys remember that Pike Lake in Ontario? I think it's Ontario. Where
Where is this
I'm
going?
blanking on his name. A guy from New Jersey. Like I think it's like a fly in, like nobody goes up there and it's like catching
Oh, Park.
giant.
Yeah.
Remember the name
He
of it?
went to oh no. I could look back
Bandit,
at my text.
Bandit, Bannet, Bonnet, Brannet, Brandit,
Give me a
Brambit.
second. Give me a second.
What is that, the lodge?
Yeah.
Brambit? I don't remember.
No,
Some
it's
solid podcasting
from
there.
David Park, DCAM. I asked him, Brabant Lodge,
Brabant Lodge. Is it
Canadian
Ontario?
Pike. No,
I don't think it's in
I think it's in
Ontario.
like
I think it's like
Saskatchewan.
almost by Alaska, but
It might be in like the Northwest
Brian's not
Territories.
really our geography guy here in Manitoba, one of them. But yeah, that would be an incredible spot too. I mean, he did some insane videos of pike out there. Your smallmouth lake story reminded me of that, just with pike.
Where it's
Oh,
like, yeah,
cool.
just
It's
something
in the
crazy.
Northwest Territories.
Northwest, same thing, same thing.
Yeah, whatever.
God.
Close enough. It's in
Great
Canada.
question. Oh, Canada.
Great
Yeah.
question. All right. Great question.
So, with somebody who's been fishing up there for as long as you have, you got to have some people love hearing the big fish stories. So, you've had to have encountered some freaks, I would imagine, in your time, whether they were caught or seen. Do you got any stories of some freakishly large Shield Lake fish?
Yeah, I remember some from when I was young that you just, whether they were super big or they weren't, that you just saw. But we had one a few years ago actually on Wabagoon. It was with Travis, and man, we didn't catch it, but it was so cool that I was throwing up. It was a copper bucktail actually. It was at Handlebars. He's got this really cool copper skirt. I bought him out in Toronto. I've never seen him around here, but it's really cool anyway. Just whatever, fishing the spot and came around the corner. Of course, you can't see anything. It was like I saw, a big, just it was a big head, like whoa, opened up, and you're like, that was big. And before I could kind of get through the straightaway, it was on. You can't see, that's just so weird. Like, you're just so used to making had it, and we saw the things. Well, it wasn't, it was, like this. It wasn't like huge, but I mean, that thing was, it was long, and it had a head on it. It was a big, I don't know how big they are when they get so big, but yeah, I mean, that was a really cool giant one. I was on Sewell, a number of years ago. This is maybe like 10 years ago. You have those, and this is no catching, but we were doing this. St. Croix had just come out with their Legend glass rods for throwing like number five shad wraps, and it was with Rich Belanger from St. Croix, and we had to do this little piece on walleyes. So we were chucking at the bank shad wraps, catching walleyes, and we got done, and we just came into this random lily pad bay. I mean, it was a bay that I would never in a zillion years ever musky fish in, and Rich picked up a Poseidon and he threw it in there, and I mean, he just had one come in. Again, I don't know how big, let's say get over like 52 inches. I don't know. They're just big, and so he has one come in, and you're just insane. You just can't even believe it. And I threw out the other, I was throwing off the bow, and I had one come in that was like equally as big, and we saw two more that were in that like 48 to 52 in like the next four cat. They were different fish, and
God.
I've
Hunting
been
in
back to that
packs.
spot a million times. I've never seen another fish there, but those are the things you just think about. Like, what happens if I'm ever here and like
Oh
we
my
go and
God.
make four casts and all four of those things bite? Like, why are four super magnums in this rotten little lily pad bay? And it was like 2:30 in the afternoon on a calm, sunny day, so I don't know. They weren't going to bite. They weren't active. But they're muskies, and the big ones are just super cool to see. So,
Yeah.
yeah, that was pretty neat. Yeah, you run into
Do
big.
you see those Canadian fish pack up? Gus and I, through
Yeah.
our travels and tournaments and stuff, particularly in some Minnesota systems and Iowa and some other places, we've noticed where fish tend to like pack
Yes.
up and hunt. Is that a Canadian thing?
Oh yeah, big time. Yep. Oh, for sure. Yeah, if you find one, you're in the zone. There's usually several around for sure. So not always, but if you see one, there's probably more around. That's where you want to keep looking. You're in the right zone. So
Good to
yeah.
know. Yeah,
Yeah.
for
Yeah.
sure.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't have anything crazy of catching any 60 inches or anything like that, but caught
Me neither.
You catch plenty of nice ones up there, and you get those shots at you always got a shot at something really super big up there. You just never know, right?
Yeah, the big
And
ones are smart up there too.
they are. I mean, I just think they're just so rare. I mean, you get the timing right, and they're muskies. They're not. They're just. They can be
Yeah.
dumb, but you just got to get your timing right. And there's just so much water and so much habitat for them to be in, and unless you're Doug Wagner that's fishing them every single day and super in tune with them, it's pretty hard for most guys to just run up there and think you're going to be on huge ones. But I mean, think of how many huge muskies get. It happens every year, like at camp. It's going to be somebody who doesn't musky fish is going to catch the biggest one. I mean,
On a
it
bass
just never
jig.
fails. Yep, caught on a bass spinner bait, caught on a yellow twister under a bobber. It's just insanity. But it always happens. It's just what it is.
It's
That's what
wild. It
that's
happens
so
up there
cool,
too.
honestly. Yes. Yes, it does. So yeah, boys, if you run into a muskie in an area, keep coming back and fish it. And there's almost always a few around that zone.
That's good to
Okay.
know. Yeah. That'll
Yeah.
definitely help. 'Cause I mean, I know when we'll be running and gunning, it'll be really hard unless like we really, really like the spot to like go back if we don't see anything or don't mark anything on our electronics at all, because it is such dirty water, whether we don't get a hit or catch one there,
Yeah, and
whether
that
we
seems
want to
like
go
that's the
back.
hard part. And I think it's a good strategy too when you haven't been somewhere to not fall in love with spots and just keep going. I find that to be true
Okay.
still many times that, like, if I'm fishing with somebody new, like, oh, why don't we go back and fish that spot where we saw the fish? And it's kind of like, well, by the end of the day, we're just gonna come. To me, the best spot is the next spot, unless there's something really cool about a spot where you caught one and three more were just big and crazy and ready to go. But I feel like I've been burned more times on trying to plan stuff out to be back on a spot where I thought it was going to win versus just picking the next good one, as
Finding a new
on my
fish, a
way
new
and
active
just
fish.
fishing, through all kinds of stuff, because
Yeah.
your best spot is. Could be a spot you've never fished, So
Good
I
point.
love
More times than
exploring
not, it
and
is.
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you guys know that. Yeah.
For
Yeah.
sure. And you brought him up a second ago. Funny enough, I was going to ask about Doug Wagner. How'd you get linked up with him? I know you've shot a video once in like Minnesota, I want to say. But how did you two get linked?
Yeah, Doug, it's cool. He just texted me one day. So he got to know Nick Linder, Jim's kid, and I was like, hey, I'm in Walker. You want to go musky fishing? I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. I was doing something with my family, and yeah, we went later that week, and yeah, we just kind of became friends and fished together the number of times now over the years. And yeah, I mean, talk about somebody who's just on another level. I mean, he just
He
is
doesn't
totally
stop.
different. Yeah. Oh, okay. So get a load of this. This is definitely a confession that I'm not as hardcore as I once was. But so Doug called me, right before muskie opener in Minnesota here. He's like, hey, me and my buddy Kyle are going to be up fishing Mille Lacs. He's like, do you want to go? And I was like, yeah. Actually, I could. I don't have anything going on Friday night. So he's like, okay, why don't you come over Friday night, like at 11? So opener's at midnight, And yeah, we'll go fishing. So I kind of have in my mind, I grab a couple bottles of water and an apple or whatever and a caffeine. I like have in my
Whoops.
mind that we're gonna go fishing from like midnight to maybe sunrise or something like that. And it's like 11 the next morning and they're still just like chunking. And I'm just like, holy shit, man. Like I haven't slept and like you guys are just whipping baits. And I was like, yeah,
My
I'm
God.
good, And they're like, okay, yeah, we'll drop you off. We're gonna keep going. So they just did like 24-hour bender musky fishing. So yeah,
Unreal.
that's how you do it. That's how you get good. That's how you catch the big ones. But
We were asking him about some of those crazy excursions when we had him on our podcast, and he called it sleep in a can. You don't need to go to sleep. You just have a monster, a little sleep in a can, keep you going.
yeah, just go. I used to be like that when I was younger, but I. But yeah, If it was maybe somewhere, well, I actually can get a shot at a big one, but it's kind of in my backyard, and I was like, oh, I got stuff to do, and I feel like I'm getting old. And we haven't seen anything for 10 hours. I'm good. So.
That is always tough. Like Gus is a guide up in northern Wisconsin. Brian and I are, relegated to the weekend warrior status, and like you're up really early Sunday morning and you're grinding all day. That thought starts creeping your head, like, all right, I gotta be a human being tomorrow. Like I gotta go to work tomorrow
Put on
morning,
this face.
So like we always joke, like, I'll walk in the office Monday morning, it's like, how's your weekend? And it's like, it's good. It's good. Just, it's, I got 3.5 hours of sleep and fish for 53 hours, but yeah, it was good. It's really normal, super normal stuff.
So it's fun though to push it. I mean, that's kind of I do like it when I'm in Canada. Eagle's kind of a nice spot because you got your bookends where you're done. You can start at dark and you're done at dark. So if you're up there in end of June though, man, I mean, you're up at 3:30, and you're done at 11 something, and you know what that's like. So I'll take breaks in the middle of the day, but if it's good fishing, you just go and go and go and go. And still, you don't get those chances very often. I think that's what's cool about a lot of musky anglers is when you are there, like you just want to be doing it all the time. And then, yeah, you don't even realize how you do it when you're in that place. And then, yeah, Monday morning rolls around or you get back and you're just like, you want a vacation from your vacation. Gus, you do it for,
Very relatable.
you're doing it all the time. So you're probably more conditioned than some of us.
I got more conditioning on these guys, and even the sleep schedule is more on the Doug program of just sleep in a can. That's how I gotta almost sometimes motivate these guys, or honestly, it goes back and forth for who's more tired than the other. But
No, it
I
is
love it.
true. Like you do kind of just,
I
you
do
just
forget
kind of
that.
like, yeah, but also like when you're out there, like Jeremy was saying, you just kind of like forgo like basic human necessities at times. You're just like, oh man, I haven't had a sip of water in 4 hours and I'm out in 80-degree
All of a sudden
sun.
you're
Like that's
seeing
not
blue.
smart. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just funny. No, I mean,
Jeremy.
the fish will do some dumb stuff to you.
I'm curious, something that, while you're filming a show, maybe something bad that happened, but it made out to be a great story, that maybe didn't make the cut in filming, whether it was, a huge fish loss in the net or equipment failure or something that, turned out to be a funny story that, went terribly wrong.
Oh man, I feel like stuff goes so terribly wrong all the time that it just
With
doesn't become quite as
electronics.
memorable. Gosh, I'm trying to think of some stuff that, well, this didn't happen to me, but we drove up to Reindeer a few years ago, and we had a Chevy diesel truck, and the DEF system went bad, so I got lucky and got to draw a straw. I was going somewhere else, but poor Jeff Simpson and Mike Hayner got stuck in Prince Albert while they waited for the Canadian Chevy dealer to get some DEF parts. So they got stuck in Prince Albert for several days. I mean, that kind of stuff happens. Man, I'm just trying to think of something. And there's obviously the big fish losses. Those are always a bummer, but that's just kind of goes with the territory, if you like. Gosh, I don't know. I wish I could. I know that there's just always tons of mishaps. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on having. Maybe one of these times we'll have a few, and it'll all come back to me, and we can.
It's a good thing there's nothing too glaring, though. You've avoided it
Honestly,
way too bad.
Well, I just think it's too common, and maybe most people it is glaring, but yeah, we're out. It's always something. Well, my starter on 502 this year pulled over to see if we could find some. There's blueberry season, like, oh, looks like a blueberry patch. And then the starter was out, and you're in the middle of 502, and you gotta somehow hike to a spot to get cell service and find a flatbed. And I mean, that kind of stuff happens plenty, but
You're just so seasoned. It's like, just whatever. We
whatever.
adapt and overcome.
Yeah, this is part of it. Yeah, I mean, we've got it so easy too. I mean, I always just have so much respect for guys like Dick Pearson and Jack Burns. Being a Canadian fan, to just think about, the nuts it took to go, first of all, get to Lac Seul with the automobiles and the boats and the trailers that we had and the road conditions they had back then, and then to navigate 50 miles up the lake to go sleep in a tent and explore water, you know, with a piece of paper that has a rough outline of the lake. Like, that
Crazy.
was real stuff, you know, that those guys did. And they figured all of that out with nothing, you know, and that is just, to me, it's just remarkable what those boys did.
Yeah, I think we're always like, I don't know, at least us three, and it sounds like you are too, but part of you is always kind of chasing that, you know, that idea or that feeling of like just doing something you kind of push outside your comfort zone, and
Yeah.
it's not easy, you know. That's cool stuff.
Yes,
I always think of
absolutely.
that too. Like, even reading like the books on guys, you know, that were kind of pioneering like northern Wisconsin, and you know, you hear about them doing like the road trolling and like dropping milk jugs over rock bars, and just like the amount of effort it took. It's just like, man, that's just
Yeah.
respect, you know?
No graph,
It's
dude. See?
awesome.
Big time, yeah. Respect and the drive they had, and yeah, they just figured it out old school. And it's great, man. It's great. That's such a cool part of muskie fishing, is the history and the culture that those guys built. And you know, we get to learn from, you know, and we get to practice with a lot nicer stuff and a lot more knowledge than they have. So yeah.
I
Just a
know it.
little bit. Well.
Gus, Brian, what do you guys think? You guys got any last questions for Jeremy? This has been not only a lot of fun, but also extremely helpful, whether you believe it or
Yeah.
not.
Very.
So,
Hopefully the
yeah.
listeners have a Canadian trip for the first time this summer.
Yeah. In the
Yeah.
middle of August, I'm all good.
Hypothetically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one.
Okay.
I
Shoot.
got one. Jeremy, did the tiller life choose you, or did you choose the tiller life?
Boy, that's a really good go. That's deep, Gus. Holy smokes.
Deep cut, deep cut.
Yes.
I've been holding that one
So
back.
the first boat I had was a little Larson. Well, it was like a family boat, you know, like everybody had putt around. And then I got my hands on a this old Stratos bass boat that
Sweet.
I don't know. I just didn't like the layout. And it was like, I wanted to go fish with friends. It was a two seat, you know, like a two seater. It was a smaller, just that flat bass platform. And then I got a new Tuffy. And then I got a 16-foot Tuffy, and I just was in love with that. It had like, I think, a 50 or 60 tiller on it. And ever since that one, I've just kind of stayed in the tillers, and I really like that 1875. I mean, it's got tons of drawbacks, but in terms of maneuverability, it's a sports car, and for boat control anyway, not necessarily traveling, but you can put so much stuff in those things. And they're easy on gas. You just have tremendous range. You can really travel far in them, and doesn't cost you a zillion bucks, and it's easy on battery juice. And so there's a lot of benefits to it, but then it really is a miserable experience if it's 40 mile an hour winds, crisscross and leach
Yeah.
in the crosswind, you know. So it's trade-offs. Are you guys, anybody here tiller boys?
I am,
Yeah.
yeah. We've Max and I we've run a tiller since as long as we can remember. We had a little MiroCraft tiller,
Oh,
and
cool. Shout
then
out. That thing was sick.
that thing was sick. What was it after that? It was the little 16-foot Ranger tiller, the aluminum, and then after that I bought my first boat, an Alumacraft competitor, 185, and then now running the new 185X Alumacraft tiller. So just
Right
stayed with the
on.
tiller gang, and I don't know. I think it's gonna be how I go for a long, long time. I mean, all the benefits are there, literally, other than going across
Getting
in 40 mile an hour
soaked.
winds. Yeah,
Yeah,
getting,
other than be on Vermilion in November.
yeah.
I mean, it's
Yeah.
fine for you guys. You can at least turn your back. I gotta
Right.
face it.
Yeah,
That's
just
true.
5 gallon buckets in the face. Take it, take it, take
Yeah. Pretty much.
it. I'm with you. I don't mind. We're all muskie fishing, and so I don't mind the suffering a little bit. I do like, I do really. I'm just like you guys. I like it. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously nice to jump in somebody's 20-foot glass boat with a full windshield and rip around. And yeah, there's benefits to those too. But if you like to like trolling too, just they're so versatile and put into little
Yeah.
lakes like you guys bounce around up there. Like, I love it. You don't notice it's behind the truck, and you can rip and get in places. So I just feel like the
It's
acceptability that it gives you is so awesome.
it is crazy. Like as soon as I would go to like a double axle trailer and bunks, it would probably eliminate a lot of places I could go to where now I still have a single axle and rollers. I could
Yep.
just dump in pretty much almost to whatever, like, I feel like.
Yeah. Yep.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. It's awesome, man. So that's cool. I like your question. So what did the tiller choose you, or did you choose the tiller, Gus? How's it go for you?
For me,
It chose you.
I
It
think
chose you. Yeah,
the tiller chose
Miracraft chose
me.
you.
Yeah, the
Really?
Miracraft was the one.
Yeah. We
Nice.
just never looked back. Ripping
Yeah.
across Cranberry Lake,
Didn't know there's
15
another option.
horsepower. Yeah, we didn't know the other world.
Yeah, no, not until we started jumping in other people's boats. We're like, is this really what it could be?
Yeah, right. I
But it almost it's why it makes it feel so, amazing going across like the Bay of Green Bay in a 21-foot fiberglass. It's like,
Yeah.
oh, okay. It
Yeah,
was
yeah,
nice.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have to have it if you're fishing Green Bay or whatever, the
Oh yeah.
green stuff. Yeah. But if you're backcountry angler, it's pretty sweet. It is a good way to roll, that's for sure. Cool.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate your time, Jeremy. I don't know if Brian or Max has another question or if.
Likewise.
Yeah,
I
I'm good.
got them
Unless,
all out, man.
Jeremy, you
I
got
had a
anything to get off
blast.
your chest? Appreciate you coming on.
No, I'm always excited to talk. I'm glad we got to talk about Canada. That's fun. It doesn't seem like there's as many, younger guys getting into Canadian fishing or that I see. I mean, it just seems like it's, people older than me, and some it's awesome that you guys have interest in it because it's just great, obviously. It's great. There's so much exploring and adventure to do. Not that we don't have great fishing in the Midwest. It's just different up there and in a good way.
I mean, it's been
Right.
in talks for us for like 5 years, and we just haven't pulled the trigger. And I think this year we finally nailed down an actual week, and we're finally gonna do it. So we're pretty stoked.
Yeah. That'd be
Yeah,
awesome.
I just think it's like the natural progression of, the adventure. We've cut our teeth in northern Wisconsin. And we've started to branch out some of these bigger, Minnesota lakes and even some bigger Wisconsin lakes. And now it just feels like that next step that makes
Yeah.
sense. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're excited.
Then you get to ripping up five. We'd be going over Rainy and then ripping up 502, and it's just wow. Oh, what's in there? What's in there? What's in there? What's in there?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Man,
Could be hard to
could be
look at
a
the road.
slippery. What's water?
Could be a slippery slope for us.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It is just so great. So,
Yeah. Well,
right
cool. Thanks
on.
for your time again. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
All right.
thank
Well,
you.
thank you, boys. Really appreciate it. Reach out if you need anything. And thanks for connecting. This was really fun.
Absolutely.
Well.
Thank you, Jeremy. All right, everybody, welcome back. Hopefully, you enjoyed that segment there with Jeremy Smith. I know we had a great time there. Great guests, great chat. But on the back end here, I know we Brian already brought up the Super Bowl. A little bit lackluster. Not a lot that I can say on my end. I fell asleep start of the third quarter because I was in the midst of partially dying there when my sickness was on its way in. Yeah, what are your thoughts there, guys? Who wants to go first?
No, I will say that's always when you know you're in for a world of hurt is when like that first night you get sick and you're just in bed asleep like 3 hours earlier than normal. You
Dude,
know you're about to get it.
it was like 9:15
Yeah.
on East Coast time. That's like 8 whatever, and
Yeah.
yeah,
That's tough.
It was not good, dude.
Well,
I knew it was bad when my body felt like it was negative 10 degrees and my forehead was 1,000
that's my
degrees. I'm like, ooh,
favorite.
that's good.
Oh. Dang. You're like
Yeah.
really going through it.
You had a little fever there.
Oh yeah, dude. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it here. It was not
Wow.
fun.
Hey, well, props to you for showing up. Us playing through it tonight.
Little flu game here. Yeah.
Somebody had to host it, just, drop into a new hotel for some good old Wi-Fi in these hotels. It's working pretty
I
great.
offered to do a solo episode this week. Even Max, you even said you're feeling a little under the weather. I'm like, you know what? I got it from here.
Yeah. One of these days, Brian. One of these days.
Let you have
I
it.
wish I had like the editing stuff because I would just record it, edit it, post it, and then make you guys listen to it once it's already up and be like, what the hell? But yeah,
Wouldn't
Gus,
even want to know.
You didn't you went to bed at a good time, I guess. If you ever were gonna be sick during a Super Bowl, you didn't miss anything. There's a lot more scoring in the fourth quarter, but man, was that a snoozer. Zero fireworks. If you like good defense, you got it. Max, what were your takeaways?
I mean, not much. Wasn't that good of a game.
It was a lot of punting, man.
Yeah. Gus, you
Been a
false.
while.
Yeah, no, I know. We've had some good ones lately. But yeah, we it's a good day, We went out to the grocery store, got some all like the typical Super Bowl apps, made some pigs in a blanket, made some queso, made
Wings.
some wings, it was a great day. Just kind of anticlimactic when the game started. Halftime show, a little hard to sing along to. So,
No further comments.
it was,
Except for the Lady Gaga part.
yeah. Yeah. Mr. Rabbit threw down some good beats, but yeah, didn't really understand much. But no, commercials I thought were. Like I don't know when it shifted with these commercials, but I remember like I don't know if it was just because I was younger or what, but like the commercials used to be so creative and good. And it's been a couple of years now where like majority and if not all this year, like there was not one commercial that was really great.
No.
Maybe the Budweiser, but they're just going back to the Clydesdale well year
Yeah.
in, year out. Like the Bud Light, they swing way the other way one time, and then now they're back to the Clydesdale Bald Eagle
It's bald
suburb
eagle with
deal. Yeah, like super American. But I had like the rest of the commercials where I didn't remember any of them. I mean, I know there was some robots dancing with some Schwedka that people really didn't like.
that one sucked.
I
Outside of
think we're
that, I
just
don't
getting
know.
older. Like
I don't know, man. I
I
think
don't
we need
give
to
two
be
shits.
better.
I'm pretty sure I
We didn't
got
get
up
that
during
much
every
older.
commercial break, and like I probably watched 10% of the commercials. I just didn't give a shit about them. Like when you like
Yeah.
in high school, I'd be like, oh, I can't wait to see that new whatever commercial. It's like,
But like I remember like the old Doritos commercials and like
yeah,
there was some good commercials back
there
in the day.
was, yeah.
And now yeah, I feel like they just fall flat. Like I don't know.
It's also like it sucks when 50% of the ads are taken up by weight loss and gambling ads too.
True.
Kind of
Yeah.
ruins some creativity there.
I know. It's like really
So come
targeting
on.
the people that are watching this Super Bowl. Yeah,
Also,
it's
the
bad.
Super Bowl commercials, like
It's so bad.
they might still be, but they especially were back in the day, like the pinnacle of advertising. And like you
True.
paid a fortune for it, and it was the best
Yeah.
way to get your product out there. And now with like social media, all the different types of social media and all the different, ad space, I don't know. Maybe they're just
Right.
allocating budget differently, but
I mean, instead of having to pay for a Super Bowl ad, you could just sponsor the Muskies on Tap podcast and,
yeah, get the
same,
same
same.
amount. Yeah.
Net, net.
For
No, it
sure.
was, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, good weekend overall. I would say, the golf was awesome. Phoenix,
Yeah.
Waste Management delivers year in, year out. Thought it was one of the
Yeah.
better golf tournaments I've watched in a long time. I love, very aware, good awareness from the PGA Tour to have it end right as the Super Bowl was starting. I mean, the
Yeah.
playoff literally got her a pulled that winning putt, and then like I flipped over the channel and the Natty was playing for the Super Bowl. I'm like, that's pretty well
Wow.
done.
Yeah. I'd like to see the numbers on that. Their viewership
Right,
totals from like the
right.
winning putt to like the trophy ceremony just
Oh yeah,
plummets.
plummets. Pond hockey was good this weekend, fellas. We're in the championship. We made it through absolute battle on Saturday
Nice.
morning, 11-9 victory. Only issue now is we're mid-40s, so struggling to find ice. Not sure when we're going to be able to play the
Oh, no
championship.
kidding.
Yeah, struggling to find ice.
Yikes.
So that took a turn, which is interesting for our ice fishing weekend coming up in a couple weeks here. Gus, do you think that's gonna mess
Oh,
with
we're
the ice
fine.
condition? All good. No,
I mean, we'll have
cause for
enough
concern.
ice. I don't know, maybe travel and whatnot. Obviously, I'm, been gone and will be gone pretty much right up until we get out ice fishing, but no, we'll have plenty of ice. Honestly, it might knock down some snow and we could use the UTV and snowmobile and get around way easier, to be honest. Could be ideal, actually.
Yeah. It feels like every February there's a big stretch of like a heat wave. Years past, I remember it's been like 60 degrees in like middle of February for no reason. I don't know what it is, but
Definitely feels like it.
I think before opener, which whatever opener even means anymore, we should try and get on Mr. Pepitoniak or Cameron Moreland, get a meteorologist in here to give us a weather watch.
Yeah, we're gonna need a
Official
weather watch.
breakdown.
We're gonna need a weather watch. I already know we're gonna get absolutely hosed the weekend we go up there for ice
Yeah.
fishing. It's gonna be like 32 and sunny every day leading up, and then you know it's gonna be like 35 from the north and
I think it's
14 here.
setting up pretty well. I don't know about wind yet. That'll be something to keep an eye on, but
We're way too
wind's
far out.
crazy.
Way too far out.
As long as we get like in the 20s, like
Week and a half, isn't
mid-20s would
it?
be great.
Yeah, it's true. Probably 10 days from departure.
Yeah. It is. I actually know that too. It's exactly 10 days because I just passed off work.
Only on a calendar for 5 months.
Brian, also, I mean, doesn't matter what the weather is. I mean, I know you don't care anymore, Brian. You got a new truck.
I did. Yep.
Yeah, tell us
Cat's out of
about
the
this.
bag. The jig is up. Yeah, got myself a little truck. I had 150,000 on my Ford Explorer. Wanted to get rid of it while it still had some value, or before it needed a big repair. And was just casually browsing, no, itch in the pocket really to go buy something. And I just found one that I thought checked a lot of the boxes I was looking for. Went and checked it out and told the guy to screw off. He wouldn't lower his price. And I drove around the block 3 times and I'm like, damn it. That thing's gonna be gone in 2 days and I'm gonna get really pissed. So I went back in there
Old
like a
trick.
coward and I was like, hey man, I'm back. Like, I'll take it.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Congrats. That's a sweet purchase.
Thanks, man.
What's the model again?
It's a F-150. It's actually got it's like a 3.5 liter hybrid engine, which is I'm still getting used to and trying to figure that out. But if I'm
Eco-friendly.
yeah, if I'm driving, well, hopefully fuel efficient. But word's still out on
Not the way
that.
you drive.
Yeah, I believe me, I've been a lot better with this thing. But we'll see.
Yeah,
Hopefully, I can get around 20.
you can't just toss that thing around and be
Yeah.
switching lanes really quick.
Yeah. Gets over on two wheels, I found out pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. So you're gonna be pushing that thing to the brink. One thing I tuned into this weekend, again, Sunday, big TV day for me. Just gonna get out ahead of that, but tune
Olympics?
into the again, this is a Muskie podcast. I don't really know anything about professional bass fishing. But I did tune in Sunday. So
That's Sunday morning.
yeah, it was the Bassmaster Elite, part of the Bassmaster Elite series, I believe, in Gunnersville this weekend.
Gunthersville, yeah.
For first stop maybe of the year. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know these things. But I tuned in because
What made you say first stop of the year?
I thought they were saying it on the broadcast. I
Oh.
can't try to remember now. It's Tuesday. I had a couple beers, so sorry if I screw
Yeah.
up. But it was no forward facing sonar. So I kind of wanted to tune in and see what these homeboys were doing to catch fish. And it was actually pretty compelling. It was a compelling watch. Like
That's good.
I don't know what you could take away from trying to make muskie tournaments a similar viewing experience. I think it would be difficult, and it would also require a good amount of money that the Bassmaster Elite Series has that muskie fishing tournaments don't. But like the way it was filmed and broadcasted, I was like, this is pretty sweet. Like, I'm not
Yeah,
a bass
production.
guy, but I could get into watching this.
I used to watch them all the time when I was young, like Saturday, Sunday morning and beyond.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is cool stuff, and I'm curious because I know, like last year when the big Muskie live scope debate, which is never ending, but when it was going
Yeah,
on, I would
what year?
you'd get lost. And there's a big also live scope in the bass community,
Well, it
and
was 10 times, 100 times worse, I think.
Yeah, I think it was. And well, I mean, there's a lot more bass fishermen, so like it's probably just gonna happen where there's a lot more people angry and with an opinion on it. But yeah, I'd be curious too. I didn't know they got rid of it.
Well, they didn't ban it. I think they just banned it for certain events. And so this
Yeah.
one was a non-forward facing sonar event. And I kind of caught wind of it just, on social media on Saturday or whatever. I was like, oh, I'll tune into that Sunday morning. And just found myself watching. I was like, this is kind of cool. So
Might be a Vasco guy this year.
I'm not gonna be a bass guy. I don't know. I wouldn't know what the hell I'm doing out there, but it was
Jonesing
still
for
fun to watch.
content.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's just,
Just a
looking
little
at the
Sunday morning.
open watt, it's good. Yeah, turn
Yeah.
flipped it from keys back to the bass. It's a good morning.
That is a good Sunday. You watched a whole lot there. You're
Oh,
big
I
chilling.
didn't bear. I think I took like 2,500 steps.
That's more than I thought. I thought you were gonna end at 25.
I did leave the house, so I wasn't
That's good.
totally in the cave all day,
As long
but
as you
yeah.
leave the house once, just to even maybe go to the store, like makes you feel a lot better about yourself than
Yeah.
never leaving.
Yeah, we've been running around, it's been a busy couple weeks, surprisingly.
Yeah.
So it was good to just kick the puppies up on Sunday and relax.
Yeah.
I feel that for sure. Anybody watch the Olympics at all lately?
I feel like it's on at weird times or something. I'm just not.
It's like afternoon, sometimes late nights. I don't know. It's been just like a not a ton of events going on yet, but there's been some solid outings by the U.S. I think like figure skating or ice dancing, they call it. USA took gold as a team.
Ice dancing?
Yeah, that's what they call it, I think, when it's like teams or doubles or something.
Oh, okay.
Didn't know that. Didn't know
No.
that. Women's alpine downhill gold.
Yeah, that was
Lindsey
crazy.
Vonn.
She no,
Yeah.
she
No.
yeah.
She had to get taken by like a helicopter off the hill. That was not
Yeah.
good.
Did you see that video?
Yeah.
That one guy is just like, yeah. Did you see the video, Gus, of her getting helied off the mountain?
Yeah, the heli off the mountain. Yeah, he's just hanging
Yeah.
on.
So she's like in a body bag and they're like taking her up, and then the one guy's just perched like 100 feet off the helicopter, just sitting on the rope. Like,
Oh,
what?
really? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I
crazy.
didn't realize that that was the protocol. Seems like more dangerous than skiing.
Yeah.
I mean, those mountains are like insanely steep. There's not
That's
many good
true.
ways up and down that thing. Even a snowmobile would be sketch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a bummer. I think USA women's hockey, I think they won all their prelims. And men's hockey starts when this pod drops, I think.
Thursday, yeah, it's gonna be
Really?
awesome. That's what I'm most looking
Yeah,
forward
I
to
gotta
for
tune
sure.
into that. Oh yeah. That's the big events that we're
Is it
trying to.
pool play to start, or how do they do it?
We got like three preliminary games, yeah.
So it's like pool play, and then you have to win like two to advance, or what?
Well, to like play in the gold medal game. Yeah, I don't exactly know how the scoring all works, but I know you play, like Gus
They
said, like
might.
three preliminary games, and then it just kind of maybe seeds out, and you got to keep on
Yeah.
skating.
Then it's into a regular tournament, though, after the prelims.
I think so, yeah, based on maybe scoring and whatnot, but I don't know how like you get like who you play in the prelims, like where that comes about. I think USA's schedule is easy-ish, but they do play Germany, I think, at the end, which they still I think they're
Should be
will be favored.
easy.
They're not they don't play Canada at all though in the prelims.
Is Canada
Or
favorite?
Sweden
USA
or
second?
yeah, Canada's
Yeah.
favored for sure. Then
Yeah, no Russia this
USA.
year again.
Yeah, it kind of
Yeah.
sucks.
Yeah, they're like fun to watch in hockey. So
Yeah.
Putin's gotta figure that out.
Putin got to figure
They got to figure that out over
that
there.
out. Excuse me, Mr.
Let the boys play.
Yeah. Get Obi back out there one more time.
What else we got coming up on the radar, guys? Kind of dragging on here. I know we're
Must be
actually,
show.
yeah. Oh, I will be working the Huntsytail booth in Minnesota.
Oh, wow. How'd you get hired?
Nice.
Begged and pleaded.
Wow,
I'm just
wow,
kidding. The cows.
wow. Wait, is
No,
our show
show
hinged
killer.
out?
You
Are you
needed
still
some
on our show
allies
killer?
on this side of the border, man. He's coming into enemy territory over here in
Yeah, that's
Minnesota.
true.
That is true. Yeah. All the other Huntsytail guys bailed. Had to call you up.
Yeah, like low on the ringer.
All
Coming up from the bullpen.
right, number
Yeah.
23, Max
Yeah.
Manti.
Little does he know, he's about to sell
I
more Mott colored Huntsie tails than he's ever thought
Is
he
he selling
exists.
those there?
I don't know. I don't know. Probably no
Well,
idea.
yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think he is.
No, it's gonna be fun. I'll probably be at the show. I mean, we're still 2, 3 weeks out from that, but I'll probably be there Friday and Saturday, so should be good.
Nice.
Be mucking
Hell yeah.
around. I got my eyes on some guys. I'm up to something. I'm building a
You
box.
cooking? What's
I'm
he
cooking.
building over
I'm
there?
building a box.
Can we talk about it right now, or are we gonna wait?
Well, I mean, it's
Probably gotta
still
wait.
early stages,
Oh,
early stages. But
sure.
I'm up to something.
I gotta fill up my box too, so I'm building something over here.
You're building a
Man,
box too.
you're gonna be asking yourself during the Wausau show, what's he building over there?
Yeah, I mean, building the box ain't easy. All
No,
right,
no. Need a little
it's
bit of
not
this, a
easy.
little
Building
bit
the
of
box ain't easy. You know, when you're a nomads like Brian and I, you ain't got a boat, you ain't got a, you
Yeah.
know, all the storage. You got to build a box, and it ain't easy.
Like, you got a small box, but you don't know where you'll be fishing next, and you got to have baits for every type of fishery. And it's
Preach,
not,
brother.
most people
Preach.
can't get it done, but
Talk to him.
I'm
Talk to
going
him.
after it. I'm gonna get it done.
Talk
I'd love to
to
see it
him.
happen. Yeah.
Let the people know. I know they'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. Next week we'll get some sneak peeks at some baits. Is that correct, guys?
Yeah. What's next week?
Our special guest next week.
Oh yeah. That's right. That's right. On the pod.
On the
Yeah,
pod.
absolutely. I didn't know what you mean. I'm like, is there
Yeah,
an
not out
event
in
going on? I
Harrisburg.
forgot
No,
about.
no, no.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm getting no baits out here. It's a
Yeah.
hunting show
Yeah.
or like a gun show. Oh yeah,
You're picking up some
absolutely.
good stuff, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But next week we'll have a special guest on talking about exclusive baits for the Wisconsin Muskie Expo in Wausau. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, I don't know if I have anything else to add here for the end of this episode, fellas.
I do want to give one quick shout out because I know he listens. So I'm having a work lunch today, and who do you guys just take a guess? I actually told Gus, so shoot, this is
I
not
was gonna
gonna be as
say,
fun of a game.
definitely
But
not as fun. I
who do you
know.
think in the city of Minneapolis was
Is
sitting at the table next to me today at lunch?
it someone that shouldn't be in Minneapolis from out of
No, it
town?
was somebody very well should be in Minneapolis. So I work downtown, and I drove about 15 minutes north, went to a little restaurant, had a lunch meeting.
God, I don't know. I feel like
He's been a guest on the
you're talking
pod.
about Up by Blaine,
Guest on the
Thorn
pod.
Bros.
Don't think you're even here for it. Creator of the
Ryan?
Medusa, Jason
No.
Summers himself.
No way.
Ran into him just out of the blue. A million restaurants around the Twin
That's
Cities.
crazy.
Here we are. Early lunch, too. I mean, early
Did
lunch, so.
you say what up?
Oh, yeah, we chatted. It was
No.
great. No,
Yeah.
I love this thing. No, it was awesome. It was great running into him. It was just such a small world, you know? It was awesome.
Is funny.
That is crazy in the big city. Same lunch, same spot, same day.
Everybody's back
That's
downtown now,
wild.
though. It's not a ghost town anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of implants.
Yeah.
Transplants. Temporary.
Yeah, right. Well, there actually is, now that you mentioned a shout out and whatnot. Just recently, while we're here in Harrisburg, Clayton and I and company, we met up with Trey Mason, owner of the Tadpoles Reel Repair
Oh,
Service.
yeah.
Yeah, he lives in the area, so we went out to dinner with them the other night. So it
Yeah,
was
you
always
texted me about that. Maybe that's who got
Ryan.
you sick.
No,
Trey? Trey?
a little something in the crab cake or the steak or
Yeah.
something.
You been
Crab
eating good out
cakes.
there, Gus? What's the typical dining
Yeah.
situation in Harrisburg?
Out of a hotel.
No, we've been going out to some really good restaurants, honestly, and I've been trying to keep it
Chili's,
like
Cracker Barrel,
we did
Golden
just go to
Corral.
Chili's tonight.
Oh, you guys went to Chili's.
Chili's is fire though.
Chili's is kind of fire though. It
You
was
guys are
perfect. Good
crazy.
service. No, the rest of them have been more like actual like dive restaurants or localized places with solid food, good
Texas
pasta
Roadhouse
dishes.
Colch.
Yeah.
Olive
Diving
Garden.
into the culture of Harrisburg.
Nice.
Interesting town. Very interesting.
Very interesting. Could you see yourself there long term?
No. Nope.
Please. Okay.
Gonna be honest here, no.
Man, that's funny.
Sorry
Can
about
we
that. Sorry
wrap
about
this
that.
up?
I'm waiting on you, Brian.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Muskies on Tap. Shout out to Jeremy Smith for coming on tonight. Very generous with his time. We had a great chat with him. We are approaching the heat of show season coming up here. We are approaching our annual ice fishing derby, the one time a year that we muster up the courage to go out there in the ice and do our thing, play some football, catch some fish, maybe. We got nothing but college basketball now and the Olympic hockey. Can't forget about that. Otherwise, the Olympics so far have been kind of just there's like no advertising. I don't even know when they're on TV. I don't know when to tune in. We'll be cheering on the USA hard though over the coming weeks
On
and
DC.
on NBC,
NBC.
on NBC.
Yeah.
We'll catch you guys on the flip.